When putting together a list of great places to eat, Cuba usually does not make that list. But perhaps it should. According to the authors of The Cuban Table, Cuba is a land of private renown. Its culinary prowess is hidden in plain sight, remaining in the family and passed down through old, well-read cookbooks that are rarely seen outside of their communities. American photographer Ellen Silverman and Cuban-American food writer Ana Sofia Peláez documented those private home cooks in their book, The Cuban Table. Ana, Ellen, great to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Lynn. It's a pleasure.
Ana, we understand Cuba is suffered from the point of view that there's just very little food. Living is not easy. But give us a taste. What is it like to eat there? What is it like to eat with people there?
I always say the first meal I had in Cuba was our aunt offered us hot chocolate, and she had this farmer's cheese that they had found from people that at that time it was like going through the regular markets, going through where you had the ration cards was very difficult what you can get, but people would go door to door, and what they brought in from the country was usually much better than what you could find in the city. And she had this farmer's cheese, but there were a lot of stones in it. So my first meal in Cuba, I've always had this image of just eating this stony meal. And then we were able to kind of hand off everything that we had brought with us from Miami to Nana, who was someone who took care of my aunt and taking care of my family for many years. And she was able to do a lot with that. And the meals that we had at home were wonderful because Nana could just do, she could make a wonderful meal out of stone. So it was literally, she was masterful at that. So as when we had in that home was wonderful. And then when we stepped outside, we realized how different it was and how different the average Cuban was living.
Ellen, you talk about on the first trip that you got out of Havana and it was a very different world. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yes. Once we got out of the city and out into the countryside, there was much more abundance in terms of fruits and vegetables. And, of course, being in the countryside, people are more relaxed. And not on this first trip, but on one of my subsequent trips, I was visiting with a family in Vinales up in the countryside, up in a wonderful spot up on a hill with a fabulous view. And the son of the elderly woman who we were visiting cooked lunch for us. And it was one of the most delicious meals, I have to say, that I've ever had. And what was so special about it is that everything had been pulled from the earth that morning. He made us an omelet from his chickens that were running around the yard. We had boiled yuca. He made yuca chips fried in oil that were cut by hand, but I don't know how he cut them so thin. They were just delicious, and he sprinkled them with salt and some vinegar. And we finished with bananas from their tree and freshly brewed coffee from their coffee plants, and all cooked over a wood fire. Humble, but so delicious and gracious.
The restaurants in Cuba, what are they like?
There's two kinds of restaurants in Cuba. There are the state-run restaurants, and then there are the paladares. And the paladares are privately owned restaurants in a way. They're licensed so that people can operate these restaurants, which originally were supposed to be from people's homes, and they even had to be every person who worked in the restaurant had to be a member of your family. And then the state-run restaurants, which the food is very, it's, you know, it could be very, very plain, very, very bland in a way. It was very much in line with whatever could be found and was allowed. Then the paladares, there was inconsistency, but there was also the possibility of pulling something off and having that inspiration and having something that you can do yourself if you can find the ingredients and make that work.
There were also a lot of roadside restaurants.
Yes, we would just pull off the side of the road. We would pick a paladari, one that looked, maybe we liked the name of it or it just looked inviting, and we'd stop and, you know, we would have, again, most of the places we went, I have to say, the meals I had were absolutely delicious and always finished with flan and a couple of cold beers, you know, we would be eating arroz con pollo or vieja ropa.
Maybe you ought to explain what those dishes are.
I'm going to have Anna explain because she's going to do a better job than I would. I can just tell you they were absolutely delicious.
Anna, what now? There are the arroz con pollo is the chicken with rice and the is it ropa vieja? Meaning it's a beef stew, isn't it?
It's a beef stew. You basically cook a flank steak or you know brisket for a very long time until it's just falling apart, and you prepare a sofrito, which sofrito is always the base of garlic, onion, and pepper, and then sometimes there's you know some variations to that. And you cook that all together in a tomato sauce.
Ah.
And it's all just like, you know, just it's like it's called, it translates to old clothes. And it's just this like, it just becomes very sweet and tender. And it's just, you know, food that's beef that's just been cooked to the point where it's just like falling apart. And it's wonderful. It's one of the first dishes that I remember. I remember growing up going into my grandmother's kitchen and like looking up at this giant stove and her having asking her like, well, what are we having today? And she said, ropa vieja. And I thought, oh, God, she's done it. I really thought that I could peer into that pot and it was just going to be all this old clothes
rags.
That she was just cooking and going. And it wasn't. It was a nice surprise. And I ate it, but I ate it thinking that it was old clothes, that it was just old clothes that tasted really, really great and that I enjoyed.
Well, now those are both dishes that are you constantly hear about. Did you run into anything in Cuba that was totally unexpected?
I don't think I ran into anything that was unexpected or that I hadn't heard of before. There were some things that I had heard of that I hadn't seen yet, which was great. Something that they'd always told me about growing up was cooking the pork chunks in their own fat. And it's almost like a confit style technique of cooking. And that it would be kept there for weeks and months. And once you'd cooked it, they would just leave it out there in this fat and just use it as they needed to. So I hadn't seen that until we left Cuba and we saw this in Artemisa in a farmhouse. And it was exactly that. It was just this bubbling cauldron of fat that they would make this pork in. And it was the most wonderful, you know, fried pork that I'd had. So that was wonderful to see because when they describe it, there wasn't anything appetizing about it.
Right.
But then when it makes perfect sense that it's confit style, it's a very... You know, it's a lot of other countries apply this technique, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, the French do it with goose and duck. Ellen, Anna, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank
Goodbye.
You. Goodbye.
Ellen Silverman and Anna Sophia Pelaez are the authors of The Cuban Table. Now, they left us with a recipe for a classic Cuban dish, arroz con pollo. Find it at, well, you know where, splendidtable.org.